here shall have the honor, no, no, the privilege to go forth and rescue the lovely Princess Fiona from the fiery keep of the dragon. The first runner-up will take his place, and so on and so forth. Some of you may die, but it's a sacrifice I am willing to make.
Welcome to What the Nostalgia Podcast, the podcast where we go back and review movies from our formative years on up to our late teens. At the end of the podcast, we ask ourselves, were we looking at the content through rose-colored lens, or is it as nostalgic as before? We're your hosts, Jarrell.
And I'm Jamel.
And this is What the Nostalgia. Jamel, what we got?
Today we have April 22nd, 2001's Shrek. This was directed by Vicki Jensen and Andrew Adamson, starring Mike Myers, Eddie Murphy, and Cameron Diaz. For the box office, they had a budget of $60 million, and they grossed $491 million, man. They smashed it out, man, in the box office.
Yeah, big, big film.
Yes, sir.
Big yes, film sir. Back in the day. Yeah, man, I mean, I don't think you couldn't get away from this one. Like,
not at all.
I'm pretty sure I saw this in the theaters back in the day, you know, with my parents or whatever. But yeah, this was a big one for the kids. Everybody loved it at the time. It was a smash hit. But we're here today to see if it's still, you know, what we thought it was back then.
Yeah, you know, now that we're looking at it through our adult eyes, you know, see how we feel about it.
Exactly. So yeah,
but I gotta say though, man, this movie for me, you know, I was like 10 years old this dropped. So for me, one thing it did was the music, man. That first off, the theme song, the Year of All Star by Smash Mouth. This was one of the movies that kind of got me into rock music. I ain't even on front. It was a combination of things around this time. Like, in these years, you had Tony Hawk Pro Skater. I don't know if you ever played that Dave Mirra Freestyle BMX game. They had so much Sublime, Sugar Ray, that type of rock music. And this was a part of that as well for me. So that was, you know, another reason why I feel like at that time, this music was so, or not music, but this movie was so great to me.
Yeah, you remember when I, you know, it was episodes ago, but you remember when I was talking about how some movies are just forever tied to a certain song, or, you know.
Right.
Yeah, this is one of them. It's definitely one of them. That song blew up. I don't know if they made another hit after that. I have no idea, but apparently this was the one.
This definitely had to be their biggest hit, but I wasn't really following all their music. Plus back then, you know, we didn't have Spotify, not even YouTube at that time. So I'm pretty sure though they had some other hits, but nothing that's quite as big as this was. They all started.
Yeah, and they make sure they put that thing right in the beginning of the movie too. Like, let's get our song out there.
That set the tone for real.
Yeah, I guess it did. Decent song. I mean, I can't say I play it all the time, but it's an inescapable song though. It's,
right, it is. It is catchy. One of those catchy songs.
Yeah, no doubt. So, like you said, it did set the tone. Hey, I wanna ask you something, man, though, about this movie. Do you see any similarities in this? Did this feel kind of like a road trip movie to you? You know, just minus the road, or minus the vehicle, I should say. Like, did you kind of
in a way I can see that in a way I can, because you know they went on a journey, you know, and it was almost like the donkey attached himself to Shrek to go on this journey as well. So, you know, he wasn't in it by himself. So I definitely see what you're saying when it comes to that.
Now, I got, here's another thing that just came to my mind. I would love to know the history of the movies where the animal is like the sidekick. I think I might look into that. I think I'm going to explore that for real.
I never even thought of that.
I think I'm gonna explore that for maybe a mini episode for real. Just going into the history of where did that start, who came up with it, or maybe who was the first to do it, who popularized it. I don't know, but I know this one. You know, not a bad character. I mean, it's proven that it'll work. You know, have a funny little animal sidekick or whatever.
Yeah, I'm gonna jump off the bridge and say I'm thinking that it'll probably be Disney movies, though. A lot of Disney movies, you know, that did it this way, I feel like would be at the top of that list.
Yeah,
as far as following this blueprint.
Probably. We'll see, though.
But let's get into, you know, talking about some of these characters, and I mean one of them, of course, the main character, who was named after, of course, Shrek. You know, they set him up, you know, they show you how he is, basically being like this loner type of character. You can tell that he, I was asking myself too, I mean, of course we find out in the end he's not, but it seemed like he was the only one of his kind, you know. I mean, I don't know if that played into his loneliness, because maybe he felt like he was the only one of his kind. Because I know they had more movies. I don't know if, I can't remember if they delved into that at all, but he was definitely the type that didn't really get along with anybody. Everybody was afraid of him pretty much. And, you know, they pretty much let you know that at the beginning of the film.
Well, the fact that they, you know, refer to him as an ogre, you know, kind of gives you the thought that, all right, they've seen multiple of him before. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I come to you and say, oh, that, I'm like, oh, an ogre, that means I know of you. I know of your type, basically. So I do believe that, I do believe there's more, but I don't know. Oh, let me bring this up. The fact that you even said that, it made me think of this. You remember like the executioner looking character that was in the kingdom?
Yeah.
You know, that wound up punching the mirror and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I saw some green, you know, he was like covered. I thought his like face was showing just a little bit. I thought I saw some green in that. I was going to bring that up.
You thought he was an ogre in disguise?
I don't know, man. Maybe undercover, and Lord Farquaad never knew. You know, I can't imagine that Lord Farquaad would have wanted him in his kingdom, but...
You know what? I'm a ride into that theory, because... And this is moving a little forward right now, but... When they were trying to escape towards the end, you notice after Lord Farquaad got eaten by the dragon, they wasn't even trying to stop Shrek after that point. It was kind of like they watched them get married, and you know, they wasn't even feeding to your theory, if that's the case, if it was a fellow ogre
behind that too. Look, I'm looking it up right now on the laptop, and the only thing you can see is his eyes, and what I see in the eyes is green. I believe he's an ogre, man.
So he was secretly helping Shrek the whole time.
Yeah, his name is Thelonious in the story, but I believe he was an ogre. From what I see, man, he got the green on, and his body shape is kind of a little weird.
I don't know, man.
Hold on. Now, I know this is only just like two seconds of internet research, but I see a question up here that says, is Thelonious an ogre? So this obviously is...
Where are you getting that from? You got a quote. You got a quote. So.
2 second online internet research.com. That's where I got it.
Jarrell research.com.
No, I'm dead serious though. I'm being 100%. I'm looking at it right now. I will send you a screenshot, but yeah.
I don't know. Cause I didn't even, I mean, I know that's the theory you're coming up with, but I didn't even think of that. Like, I didn't notice that. I mean, when you compare, maybe the suit for Shrek was a little smaller, but you can definitely tell Shrek was an ogre when he went to save the princess. Like, it wasn't no question that she just was kind of oblivious to it, you know, when he went to go save her, and she didn't know that he was an ogre.
I don't know. We might have to look into it. Hey, we might have to get into it, man. But from what I see the green. That's all I can tell you. I see the green. So,
you know what? Anytime we have these crazy theories on these films, man, we got to start doing some after review research.
A little follow up.
Yeah, man. You know, they come back and confirm or deny, you know, if it's that serious.
Well, you know what? Let's split it up in half, because again, I gotta find that animal sidekick research, but also let's split that up and let's find out if Thelonious was an ogre.
Let's do it, because you did, man. You kind of on a tear lately, because you, the last review, Antoine Fitchie, you had a pretty wild theory on that one too. So we might have to look into that, see if we can dig up anything.
See, I thought the Antoine Fisher thing was pretty tame, but I mean, you said it's wild. I thought that was a pretty tame theory, but
I don't know about that.
This one, the evidence is just right in your face. I mean, you know, what do you want?
This one will probably be easier to find, I'm pretty sure. You know, so we'll dig into that, see what we can find.
No doubt.
Now, when we meet Shrek, we also see, you know, where he lives. We kind of have to mention he meets Donkey, who's played by Eddie Murphy, and he follows him pretty much home, and it's kind of a nuisance to Shrek, you know, at least at the beginning of their relationship. But his home slowly turns into the magical headquarters, is what we call him, because we already spoke on how he's a loner, doesn't really want to be around people fear him, and all of these magical creatures that's in this story ends up getting kicked out of the kingdom or close from the kingdom into Shrek's land. You know, now he has to deal with all these people basically on his land and trying to kick all of them off. And it's way too many of them for him to handle, even if he could, even if he wanted to. And this was all done by Lord Farquaad, you know, who is king and I guess you can say kind of a tyrant, you know, the way that he rules over the people. And now that pretty much sets the chain in motion of Shrek going on his journey with Donkey.
Yeah, the whole where all the characters show up, you know, that kind of, it's almost like, let me see, you ever seen a storyline or a movie where somebody's complaining about like sewage runoff being directed to their neighborhood or their property or something like that? I don't know. It kind of felt like that, like, you know, you can't dump these people off on me. And
exactly.
Right. And now I got a little confused about what Farquaad was trying to do. Because Pinocchio, right? He's saying that they were all forced here by Farquaad, I guess, to like live on, to, yeah, like, man, it might be a darker theory. You know what? I'm not even going down that road. you know what?
You about to turn this into a theory podcast.
Yeah, man. But I'll go take it all the way on this one. So, you know what? No, I'm not going to do it. Keep my mouth shut on that one. But again, I'm just confused. Did he want to move them to that land? But then you get a scene later on as Shrek is going to go search for Farquaad, where he's, torturing the gingerbread man or whatever. Mm-hmm. And by the way, that was, I feel like one of the, if I was gonna say I like really laughed, that was one of the funnier scenes in the movie to me, with the whole the Muffin Man joint or whatever.
Oh yeah,
I was like, all right,
yeah, that,
all
was,
right.
That was clever. That was
like,
clever.
I was like, okay, y'all got me a little bit on that one, but the point is, he's again, he's torturing him and trying to ask where are the others. You remember when he's saying that?
Right.
He's like,
right.
He's like, where are the others? Tell me, basically, trying to get the info out of him. I'm like, didn't you remove them? Or is he talking about just others in general? Like there's more. Like,
yeah, that's how I took it. I took it as maybe he didn't round all of them up to kick them out of the kingdom. And maybe he had a hunch that maybe some more was hiding out somewhere, you know. He was trying to get that info out.
Look, I'm not gonna say the theory, but do you not get where I was, what I'm thinking when it's about him rounding up people and shipping them to a certain area?
I kind of got an idea where you going with that.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I go speak of it, but yeah, I just wonder, was there some, you know?
I don't know. Like I said, I kind of read it as he was basically trying to find the others that, you know, probably was hid out. You know, he just couldn't find them. But, you know, I mean, we might just have to have an After Theory podcast, man, just in general, man, for some of these films.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know, man. He was, you know, he was rounding up some fairy tale characters. But still, yeah, I was just confused by that again. I was like, what's happening? Like, does he want to get rid of them or what? So that's the only thing that confused me.
I feel you on that. Now, we got to talk about one thing to me, in my opinion, that makes this movie so great is the voice casting. You know, who they cast to play some of these characters, man. And the one that sticks out to me, of course, I mean, is Eddie Murphy. I mean, playing the donkey. That was just, it's just a staple. It's a staple, man. You know, him voicing the donkey. I mean, Mike Myers, he's a legend. I remember first time seeing him, I think, was in maybe the Austin Powers movies. He came in and gave Shrek his own kind of identity with his voice and things like that. And there's other things that go into that, because I have some things I'm going to bring up at the end of this review that we'll speak about as far as the voice characters and, you know, things of that nature. But I think that added an element to it, you know, who they cast the voice these characters.
Yeah, what is Shrek? Scottish or something? I mean,
yeah, I believe so.
I mean, they did a good job. Yeah, with the voice casting. Like you said, Eddie Murphy, number one, is he got a unique voice. He got a very unique voice. And, you know, it's just funny to hear him. That was perfect. You know, shoot. I mean, he was in, before this, he was in Mulan as the dragon or whatever, you know. So,
oh, that's right.
Yeah, it already worked. So they knew, I think they knew. Like, that's perfect. Yeah, Cameron Diaz, you know, she did her thing, you know, for that sassy queen, I guess, or princess or whatever. And John Lithgow, man, I gotta give him his credit. He was perfect for Farquaad. So
yeah, he was. He definitely was. So, I gotta say too, speaking of his character, he said that like in real life, he didn't want to play short people or short characters. Like, he was going to turn the role down because of that. But he ended up, they say he broke his rule, you know, because one of the jokes about Lord Farquaad was how short he was. And he was saying he had a rule that he didn't want to play any short characters. It sounds kind of messed up, but I mean, I guess that's just something that he had, you know, going into Hollywood and becoming an actor. For whatever reason,
they probably made him short just because. They were like, well, yeah, they probably tricked him, brought him in. He probably didn't know the height until he saw it.
Didn't know till afterwards.
Nah, I mean, yeah, that's kind of short character, and I'm assuming that's only for animation, animated movies,
yeah,
because
yeah.
You obviously not gonna play nobody short in real life because you're not short.
Right. That was his one animation rule. They said he broke into this thing.
Okay. It is what it is, but yeah, like I said, it was just good casting, great voice acting, basically, from them all.
Yeah, sure. Now, I gotta ask you a question, man, you know, and this is kind of a dark theory myself, you know, I just got on you about your theories, I'm kind of bring one to you. Now, I noticed a lot of animal abuse, man, in this movie, I'm not gonna lie, and it was one particular scene, I don't know if you noticed this. I felt like Princess Fiona was a little darker than what they want you to believe. Remember when she went off to sing in the forest, mm-hmm. and she was singing with the bird,
yep.
you know, and she and the bird blew up. And then the next scene we see her cooking some eggs for Shrek and Donkey. Now, my thing is, what if she meant to do that and she killed the bird and stole the eggs? To cook them for Shrek and Donkey, man.
See, I think she was just having mercy. Like she took the mom out, basically. And
yeah.
And she was like, well, you know, I mean, y'all ain't gonna have nobody to raise y'all, so I might as well just go ahead and take you out too. Well, hold on, yeah, that's pretty dark.
Put you to use.
Yeah, it's pretty dark.
That's
actually,
what I'm saying.
It's kinda like
that's what I'm saying, man.
She
got close to that bird, man. She hit that high note, you know. Blew up the smithereens, man. She came back with the eggs.
Well, I think it's like when these sick killers, like, panic. Like, they kill somebody, and then now they like, well, I got to get rid of whoever's near me or something like that. And, you know, that's what I got from that. Like, she just kind of panicked and said, well, I got to take you all out now. What do you want?
Yeah, It was just something I noticed. I was like, that was a little, might be a little more darker than what they was trying to portray. But speaking of Princess Fiona, one thing I also noticed, man, is basically she got hands, man. Like, they got into it, you know, and I thought that maybe she was going to be the little damsel in distress because, I mean, one of the whole purposes of this film was Shrek, or somebody to go save her. But then it turns out she's able to fight everybody, you know? And I know you being a big fan, I know you caught that Matrix reference during that scene as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I caught it. And that brings me to my question. It's like, what year did people say, okay, we're done with Matrix parodies? I mean, I know this is 2001, so it's still fresh. It's only 2 years, but it did just make me wonder, like, what year did people say, we're going to chill with the parodies now? You know, maybe people should bring that back. I don't know. It's 2023, but I guess it's never too late to bring back a...
You think enough time has passed at this point.
Yeah, go ahead and bring a Matrix bullet time in your comedy. Go ahead and do a scene of the slow bullet time kick or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Bring it back. It got tiring back then, but yeah, I mean, I think it's fresh again. So let's do it.
But that means, man, they got to bring back them parody films, man. Then you see, you thought their parodies was done, I feel like they would have to bring that back too.
No, it doesn't mean that. You could just put a scene in, you'll have to do a whole, you'll have to now come back and do a whole parody film. I'm kidding anyways.
Oh, no.
Don't do it. Okay, but
okay,
still,
I was about to say.
It's just the point that it reminds you of the time that we're in. The Matrix was all the rage during this turn of the century. And anybody, any and every movie tried to fit it in however they could get it in. You just know every writer was like, all right, now how can we get a Matrix reference in? Because this movie is blowing up. It don't matter what it is. I'm surprised Antoine Fisher didn't kind of try to fit it in there some way. You know what I mean?
Nah, man. That would have messed the whole film up.
I'm pretty sure the real Antoine Fisher probably pulled a Matrix move in his lifetime. I mean, he went through some stuff.
Nah, that is a good question, though, because that was a big thing. I mean, of course, the first movie you think about when comparing that reference is probably Scary Movie. I mean, that's probably... I don't know if that's the first movie to do it. That's another thing. What was the first movie to take the Matrix and reference it? You know, that's another question too. What was the first and who was the last?
Yeah,
you gotta figure that out too. Do some after review research on that too.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, I think I remember it in the man. I think they jumped on it right out the gate. Because I can remember it in like the Deuce Bigalow movie, and I think that came out 1999. So they must have seen the Matrix movie, and immediately before the year ended, it was like, all right, let's go. I can't believe what we just saw. We got to fit it in our movie. They probably stopped all production on the movie and was like, hold on, we got to get a Matrix scene in.
Yeah, they might have went back, and they could have been done finishing the movie
and went back
and added. Yeah, went back and added it in.
Scratch the script. somebody came in. Yeah, throw out the script. Talk about we got something new.
That is crazy though to think that directors would go to the lengths of like, I know this doesn't fit with the movie at all. It doesn't make sense, but don't worry about it. We're gonna throw this Matrix reference in there.
Right, we got to. I mean, I would love just a documentary on the time in the history in Hollywood from 1999 to 2002 in reference to the Matrix.
Like
just how people were reacting, and like I said, who was like, hey, we got to get this in our script.
Right. How it came about, you know.
Exactly.
Did they get the permission? You know, a lot of questions there.
But again, I mean, again, they pulled it in Shrek, and, you know, they were just letting you know, yeah, she can rumble. Which brings me to this point, you know, if she had hands like that, you know, she could have dealt with Shrek. You know what I'm saying? When he basically took her by, you know, against her will, she didn't want to go.
Right. Like, yeah, that's what I was saying, man. That part didn't match up to me because she was basically the damsel in distress waiting for somebody to come save her. But she had all that ability. She probably could have escaped that castle by herself, you know, at the end of the day.
Yeah,
so
but
that was the only part of the film that was like, man, that didn't really connect that part.
I mean, you need it for a comedic effect. I understood why they do stuff like that. It's just trying to be funny. Yeah. Like, oh, actually, she could whoop tail or whatever.
I think that's one of the things when we go back and watch these films now. That's one of the things I guess I noticed now versus when I was a young kid. That's something I never would have even pointed out, you know, at that time.
Right. Exactly. So check this out. Moving forward a little bit, I want to ask you, did you notice something in this film, man? Did you also notice the amount of like sexual innuendo that they was throwing in this movie?
I did notice it a few times. Yeah, I did.
Yeah, it seemed like they was really, you know, I was like, okay,
they was pushing it a little bit.
Yeah, I was like, oh, this a children's film, huh? And they, you know, they was really flirting with that line for quite a bit. Okay.
I will say though, I was just having a conversation about certain like films. Not even just films, but TV shows that we grew up on. And when you go back and watch them now, and I'm not saying it's littered all the way through, but you'll find that it, a lot of those TV shows and movies, they had that throughout, you know, like some of the most, some of the shows you might think is the most innocent shows, you go back and watch it, you know, from an adult perspective now, you're like, man, that's,
yeah,
you know, I can see how to go over a little kid's head, but man, they definitely was pushing the envelope a little bit.
I guess that's what they're banking on. I guess those jokes are for, because it's supposed to be, you know, they promoting this movie to all ages basically. So they hoping that the joke flies just over the kid's head, but just under the adult's head. like we got it right there, the sweet spot right there.
Right, like, yeah, right, you know, in the middle.
Yeah. So
Or it could be. Maybe they do cater to the adults a little bit, knowing that they have to be the ones to bring their kids to this movie. Why not we throw just a little something in there for the adults to get?
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Well.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
I thought you were saying, I thought you were saying kind of like, you know, to go over the kids' heads, but at the same time, you know, not so blatant to where the adults, you know, actually say something about it, you know?
No. That's what I was saying, the same thing as you. Like, yeah, just over the kid's head so the adult can get it. So, you know, I'm pretty sure, you know, many parents had their children look over to them and say, what's that mean? Or something like that.
And, right,
and
right.
Just, and, you know, they just had to watch the movie, you know.
Yeah. right.
But that's a good point.
That's a good point.
Did anything bother you in this movie, man? Was there
anything bother me?
Yeah. Was there anything that bothers you?
Nah, man. Not that I think of.
You don't really have a pet peeve type list, do you? For things that might bother you in film, you know I do.
Yeah, I know you probably got a top 10 list and stuff. I can't really. I'm pretty sure it's certain things, but a lot of things I can overlook, especially if it's a decent movie. I'm not gonna let, you know, one or two things just take me out of the film.
Okay. Yeah, they brought it back, man. They brought one of my pet peeves in movies.
What they do, man? What they do?
They brought it back. I you know, I hate those scenes where it could just all be resolved if the two people just talked to each other and told it, just spoke a little more, just said like two or three more words to each other.
Oh,
you know what
I'm
saying? The scene where Shrek is confused, or Shrek is angry because he thought that Princess Fiona was talking about him being hideous and ugly, but really she was talking about herself and everything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I got to throw even Donkey in there. I know he was trying to hide the secret, but I'm like, man, at that point, you just got to spill the beans.
Right.
Those scenes, they just irritate me, man. When it's like, dude, just talk. Just shut up and talk. And you could have bypassed all of that misunderstanding, and now y'all hate each other and stuff like that. I know it's movie purposes. You got to do it for movie purposes. But that doesn't mean I ain't gonna hate it still.
Nah, I did. I was thinking about that though as I was watching it. I was like, man, they just misunderstand so easily, can easily be fixed. But yeah, man, that's especially these type of stories, you know. Even if this wasn't an animated film, you know, those type of stories where you got two people, you know, trying to get together, or that, you know, you gotta have that fallout phase. And, like you said, that's one of those staples that movies use. So
let me say one more thing about Shrek. I know we spoke about his character early on, but I forgot to say this. I know you talk about him being a loner and everything, and one of the things that Shrek, like, is a part of his character is that, like, he wants people, I guess, to like see him as more than a monster and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's like he's using his, how do I explain? It's like he's using what people think of him as an ogre to push people away, trying to scare people and stuff like that. And I was just like, yeah. I don't know if that's working together. It's like, you want people to see you as more than that, but you also want your privacy and want to be left alone. And it's like, right. Well, what are you doing to erase that, you know, what they think of you? So, I don't know.
Right. Yeah, because that's why he was so shocked with Donkey, because he tried to pull that same tactic on Donkey, and he just stood there and was like, you know, I'm not scared of you, basically, you know, and Shrek was like, really? You kind of saw a little different side to him just for that split second. He wasn't expecting that. He thought Donkey was going to run off just like everybody else. So, you know, I don't think we really talked about their relationship a lot, but they definitely, you know, helped each other out. You know, Donkey didn't want to be by himself. You know, he also taught Shrek that he didn't have to be by himself, you know. So that pairing was pretty good.
See, that's why I said it was like a road trip movie, because you get two people who might be at odds, or sometimes the movie might be with two good friends, but that goes well. You've seen these road trip movies. I don't know, planes, trains, and automobiles. Wow. Don't know what to say to you on that one.
Maybe I need to rewatch it again. I'm gonna take that back.
Sorry. Wow, that was a quick turn. Okay. that, you know, you had like Due Date with Robert.
Robert Downey Jr.
Galifianakis.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that. It was like a road trip movie, minus the vehicle, and they had their issues. They started to bond together over, I don't know, I guess the stars or whatever. And then you throw the princess into the mix. You know, he didn't even think he had a chance with, basically, at the start. And then now they're starting to, you know, hit it off, I guess, and all of that. It was, you know, it's a road trip movie. That's what I'm calling
it. Right. Yeah, it had all the recipe, definitely, for a road trip type of film.
Right.
So, yeah,
right.
I get that feel. But I got to say, you know, this movie, it was a pretty happy ogre ending. I mean, we end up finding out why Princess Fiona has hands like that. I mean, it turns out she was an ogre as well. You know, and she had some kind of curse on her. And she said she was cursed. And, you know, when it becomes dark, you know, she turns into the ogre. And when daytime comes around, she turns back into a regular human being. So that ended up explaining a lot why she was so, you know, had the ability she had, pretty much.
But did it, though? Because, so Shrek basically had WWE skills, but she gets Neo skills in the Matrix. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not buying that.
Well, maybe
I don't
maybe
think
it's
it had
different.
Anything to do with the curse.
Maybe it's different versions, though, man. Maybe he was more power.
Hold on.
She was more finesse. Man.
Each. Hold on. So each ogre gets a different fighting style.
Yeah, maybe they got their own abilities, man. You know, don't put them in a box, man. That's all I'm saying. You know, you look at Shrek; he already felt like people put him in a box, and look at you putting them in a box by thinking they all fight the same. Man, come on.
See, I wonder what Thelonious has now. See, he might fight like Steven Seagal or something. I don't know.
Out of every like national treasure fighter throughout history, you brought up Steven Seagal.
Well, the way he punched that mirror, it reminds me of a punch that I've seen Steven Seagal throw. So I'm just saying.
and second off, though, we don't even come on now. We ain't even confirmed that he's an ogre, though.
I pretty much confirmed it. I just, you know, we'll get to it. But yeah, I don't know. I just don't know if. I just felt like she had hands just because she had hands. You know what I'm saying? I didn't think it had anything to do with the powers of her being an ogre. because while she was in her ogre phase, she pretty much was about to get taken. You know what I'm saying? When they was in the, when they were getting married or whatever, and she turned into the ogre. I didn't see nothing. You know, Shrek, he started, you know, even though he got overtaken, he started getting back into his WWE style, but I ain't seen nothing from her. So, bam, debunked already. You're done.
I mean, I do get the fact that, I do get the fact that it would make more sense if she was fighting like that in her ogre form, but to be fighting like that in the human form. It didn't really make too much sense, but that's just what I'm kind of comparing it. That's kind of my reasoning behind it.
It made a whole lot more sense. Do you know how silly that would have looked if she was in her ogre phase and she was doing those moves?
what you trying to say? The ogres can't have no finesse to them like that. They got to be all power and power bombing people.
Damn right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, his moves, they went along with it. You can't, it just wouldn't have fit.
Man, you like the Joe Biden, the ogres, man. You ain't an ogre if you ain't fighting with power. You know, like, that's messed up,
man.
Oh,
wow. Okay. That's, hey, that's just how I see it, man. You know, what can I tell you?
Okay.
But,
okay. Well, I mean, we'll agree to disagree on that. But all in all, though, it definitely was a happy ending, man. You know, and as we know, well, I'm sure we'll probably get to them down the line. You know, they made a Shrek 2, and then didn't they make a third one, third and fourth one, right?
Yeah.
So and, you know we'll probably end up
or some spinoffs.
Yeah, I know for sure we'll probably get to the second one, you know, because I think that one was, from what I read, it was the highest grossing one out of all of them. So, but this definitely had a happy ending to it, you know, and it was good to see everything come together. Lord Farquaad got eaten. I didn't expect that. That was one thing I didn't expect him to get eaten like that. I thought it was gonna, he was gonna get spit out, but nah, he was pretty much killed him off.
You know what? That scene reminds me of something. Reminds me of. Have you seen The Hook?
Yeah.
It reminds me when the alligator ate Hook. Or whatever in that mm-hmm. movie, which is another movie that I'm gonna have to whip out pretty soon. You know,
classic.
That was back in the day. But yeah, he had to. You said you didn't see it. I mean, I saw it coming a mile away. Yeah, they had to take him out. Come on, and that was cool that they brought the little dragon back into play. Who I guess turned out to be a female dragon and was into donkey.
Yeah.
So
they brought everything full circle towards the end.
Yeah, they really did. That was cool.
Yes, sir. Well, before we get to the ratings of this film, man, I just want to bring out a few fun facts about the film. One of the things we spoke about earlier was the voice actors in this film. And believe it or not, Chris Farley, the legendary Chris Farley, was originally supposed to be the voice of Shrek. You know, but of course he passed away before they finished the film. He passed away in 1997. So I think they had started filming and he just wasn't able to finish it. So that's when Mike Myers took over for the voice of Shrek. The co-founder of DreamWorks, which we all know is top-notch, top of the top of animated films and producing animated films, they said Shrek saved them financially. They said they are still here today because of Shrek. So that just shows you right there the impact that this film had, you know, just in film history, you know. And lastly, Shrek was the first ever best animated film to win at the Oscars. the category was created in 2002, and it was the first animated film to receive that honor. So those are some fun facts.
Okay. That's cool. That's cool. Yeah, yep, so yep. They said it saved them. I guess it's like the Iron Man of
It's like the animation. The Blade has saved Marvel.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's pretty much similar to that. You know, so it's pretty crazy to think about how big DreamWorks is, you know. So like I said, that just speaks to the impact of the film.
What was his name again that you said was supposed to play Shrek?
Chris Farley.
Yeah, I would have loved Chris Farley to play that. I'm going to be honest with you.
And it probably, they said, you know how he was kind of like in his roles. Mm-hmm. They said he pretty much was bringing that element to Shrek.
I would love that.
And I could see that. I definitely could see that.
And you know what? Had he voiced it, my rating would have been much higher. But
really?
Yeah.
Well, they say originally Mike Myers, because you know he's Canadian. They said originally he was giving Shrek a Canadian voice, but I guess he ended up switching it to a Scottish voice in the end.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm one of the people that doesn't really know the difference. Can't tell. Like if the two of these people were standing next to each other and talking, I'd be like, okay, who's who? Yeah, I'm ignorant when it comes to outside of America.
It's just certain words. I think that kind of stand out, you know, for each individual person, you know, Scottish, Canadian, whatever. But I don't think it's really that far off. I really don't, but. But yeah, those are some fun facts, man. To get to the ratings for this film, for me, I gotta say, looking at it through adult eyes, adult lenses, it's still a great film to me. You know, I definitely go back and watch it again. You know, if I'm in a mood for an animated film, I will watch it again. So with all that being said, I like the cast. For me, I gotta give it a 3.8 rewind.
Okay, 3.8. All right, we're not too far off, man. I gave this a 3.5.
Okay.
It was decent. Yeah, I mean, I liked it better, of course, when I was younger than I do now. I don't really think that I'm gonna go back and watch it again. Honestly, I
you gotta be in the mood. You gotta be in the certain mood to want to watch this, like just to watch it, you know.
Yeah, I don't think I'll ever be in the mood to watch it. It was, again, it's not bad, but it's just it was decent. Great, like I said, great voice acting. Good story, you know. The fact that they included like this was like a whole universe, I guess, with all the magic fairy tale people. You know what I'm saying? This is like, right. What, the Avengers? you know what I'm saying? They just brought everybody.
Yeah, they did. They really did.
Yeah.
Literally
they brought that whole world together. So I was like, all right, that's good. So I gave it a 3.5. That's where I'm at with it.
Okay. That's decent. It's fairly, but it sounds like this holds up for both of us, man. You know, what else? I don't think you really revealed anything to me as far as the next review, man. So it's all on you, man. What we got next week.
Right. Well, we going from here. And we going, hey, you know, we did enough of these popular films, man. It's time for a film that you may not have seen, you may have. And nobody talks about it. Hey, boy, it's time to get into a lesser known film, man. 2004, Lady Killers, man. I don't know if you ever heard of that.
I've heard of it. I don't know if I've seen it. I'm going to have to, when we go back and watch it, I'm going to have to see. But that build up was crazy, man. I was holding on to the edge of my seat.
Right. Hey, honestly, I only picked this film just so I could rewatch it because I haven't seen it in a long time. and I think I remember kind of laughing. But yeah, man, we talking Tom Hanks, we talking Marlon Wayans, you know what I'm saying? Irma P. Hall, right. You know what I'm saying? J.K. Simmons.
That's some heavy hitters, right?
I'm saying, you know, but it is a lesser known film. Nobody brings this. I mean, and it might be for good reason, but nobody really brings this movie up when talking about Tom Hanks or, you know, any of these other people. But like, yeah, did you see Lady Killers? But it's time to return to that and check it out, man. So yeah, we're going to leave y'all with the trailer for that film, and we thank y'all again for listening. And peace.
Peace.
Allow me to present myself formally. Goldthwaite Higginson Doar, PhD. I saw the sign in your window advertising a room to let.
I'm looking for a quiet tenant.
Madam, you are addressing a man who is quiet, and yet not quiet. Allow me to introduce you to my friends, these devoted and passionate musicians.
So y'all don't play no hippity-hop songs with the title spelt all funny.
Oh, no, no, no. We play church music. But I don't propose to inflict our rehearsals on you. Do you have a root cellar? This looks promising. Well, gentlemen, here you are.
Let us make beautiful music.
This is the riverboat, gambling den, cash cow.
Gawain
is our inside man.
Damn skippy. At the end of every shift, all the cash is moved down to the counting room.
And where is the counting room?
Underground.
Underground. The general shall be directing our little tunneling operation. Blunt is our blunt instrument. Goth Pancake will be doing demolition work. By all means, let us keep this to ourselves.
Just thought I'd leave y'all with some cinnamon cookies.
There'll be no more.
Unfortunately, Ms. Munson has complicated the situation.
Well, I know how to decomplicate it.
What you doing? I know your mama raised you better.
Why, I'm not even absolutely certain that I heard anything at all. Oh, my.
We must have waffles. We must all have waffles forthwith.
Damn! This is a Christian house, boy. No hippity-hop language in here. Sometimes it's the only way.
You ain't gonna hit me.
I'm trying to help you, boy. Better yourself.
And so you should, madam, so you should.